Title of the message today is God's Open Door Policy. God's Open Door Policy. And aren't you glad our Father has given us access to His throne? We can come with confidence today. We can come because of what Jesus accomplished for us at the cross. Amen. Where through His blood, He has made a way for us to come before the Father in His holiness and His purity. Amen. And so we should take advantage of that opportunity we have to come anytime. Amen. You don't have to wait till Sunday morning to commune with God, right? How many know this is about a daily walk, a relationship with Jesus, right? So we take advantage of the opportunity in the invitation of the Father to come to Him, because He knows that we need His provision, His protection, His comfort, His help, His wisdom, everything He has, we need. Without Him, we are without hope. But He is our hope. And because of Jesus, we can confidently come, or boldly come, before the Father's throne. And the devil wants to talk you out of that. He wants to convince you that you're not good enough for the Father to listen to. And he wants to discourage prayer, because he knows that the prayer of a righteous person avails much. Amen? And therefore, your prayers do avail. So don't get weary in well-doing, because in due season, you shall reap. Amen? What you've sown, you will reap. Keep on sowing in the Holy Spirit. Amen? Keep on, as Ecclesiastes says in chapter 11, cast your bread upon the waters, and after many days, right? You cast your seed, if you will. So when we worship, when we sing, and we make music, we're offering sometimes our petitions as well, right? And our prayers to the Lord. And sometimes songs are really prayers, amen, to music. And so as we offer our songs and our hearts, we pour out to God, the Bible says this as a sweet incense, right? And so how many like to bring pleasure to the Father? How many know that He delights in the praises of His people? Amen. When we come and out of gratitude, we give Him genuine thanks from a heart that is truly grateful, because we're truly aware of how wretched we once were and what God had done for us. Amen. In our redemption, how much Jesus paid, amen, for us to be where we're at today in this world. Hallelujah. It wouldn't be possible without Jesus. Amen. So life in Christ is not based upon how much we know. It's not even based upon how much we do, but on how much we love. And to love God, you know, and others is actually fulfilling the requirements of the law. All that had been written in the commandments is summed up namely in this: love, amen, God, love your neighbor as yourself. Galatians 5:13 says, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty, only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, because God never takes away our choice," amen, our will. So he's saying, don't use your will in the wrong way, but through love, serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word: even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So in order to love others with the love of the Lord, we must first be filled with the love of the Lord. Amen. And in order to be filled with the love of the Lord, we have to open our hearts to the Lord. There are many people, even in the church, that are willing to give God access to certain parts of their heart. But because of past wounds and hurts, they're afraid to make themselves vulnerable to God. And so if you're not willing to fully trust the Lord, then you cannot receive His healing and His deliverance. Amen. So God wants you to know, first of all, how much He loves you. And that wasn't because we loved Him, but that He first loved us. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God demonstrated His love for us in this, in the cross. Amen. And so God wanted us to know we mean that much to Him. We mean that much to Him.
And sometimes we look at ourselves and we say, how can God love you? How can he love me? But we have to have confidence in the love that God has for us and in what Jesus did for us, and that the heavens are open and we can now access. Amen. But guys, listen, we need to remember it was God first reaching out to us. Amen. And there are times when we set ourselves to pursue the Lord or take a season of fasting and prayer, you know, but God wants us to meet with him on a daily basis. Would you agree with that? And he wants us to walk with him on a daily basis, right? On a daily basis. But remember that it's Jesus who at times will interrupt your day, interrupt your schedule or your plans. Amen. And he'll start knocking on the door, because sometimes we get so busy with life that we forget God. Anybody beside myself been there, done that? It's easy to get preoccupied with busyness, even sometimes busyness for God, to where you actually somehow God is no longer in the equation. Sometimes people are serving God, but they're not walking with God. How many know we're not called to work for God, but to walk with God and do work together with the Lord? Amen. It is a relationship. We are to yoke together and do life with Jesus. Amen. So it's not about me working for God. Amen. And gaining favor with God. I walk with God and I work together with the Lord out of gratitude for what he's already done for me. Amen. And not as a means of being made right, but because I'm made right through the blood of Christ. Amen. I want to then give my body back to him, my life back to him, to serve him the rest of my life. Out of love, amen, and not out of obligation. What kind of relationship would it be, a marriage relationship, where it was like, you have to love me because the Bible says you love me, right? Or the husband that says, submit to me, woman, because the Bible says you're to submit to me, right? And so the law, all right, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ is one of love and respect. Amen. And recognizing that we're all members of the same household, the same family, we're relatives, amen, in the Lord. So when I love you with the love of the Lord, amen, I'm loving the Lord who I don't see. Amen. So God didn't call us to just come under some harsh, you know, responsibility and to work for him independent of him. But he wants us to have a labor of love. That means I love the Lord and therefore I labor for the Lord. Amen. And I walk with him each day. There's a difference, because some people, they have no joy in their service because they're just working for God and hoping that if I just work a little harder, God will love me a little bit more and I may gain some favor based upon my works. But it's not by works, lest anyone should boast. Amen. It's by grace that you're saved through faith, and that not of yourself. Oh, we have to remember that. Because I'm made right through Christ, I willingly give my life back to him. I offer myself back to him. Amen. To serve him, to walk with him, to do life with him, to enjoy life together with Jesus. Amen. And so in Revelation 3:20, here the Lord again is, he's knocking on the door of the lukewarm church, who was very busy doing a lot of good things. They were prosperous. Amen. But he's saying, listen, I'm standing at the door here and I knock. If anyone hears my voice. In other words, they were very busy for God, but they weren't hearing his voice. They were doing their own thing for God. How many know you can do your own thing for God, but not be doing the will of God? We need to discover the will of God and do that, because God will always be where he tells you to be. He will always bless what he authorizes. And his word, amen, is his letter to us. It says, this is what pleases me. This is what I expect of my children. So he says, I will come in if you're willing to open the door. And the most vulnerable part of us, of course, is our heart. Everybody here has been wounded in life, has been hurt in life. Amen. Everybody has. So some people more than others, but we've all known what it is to be wounded, even by sometimes people that are closest to us. Or people that we confided in, friends that we once walked and broke bread together with, and somehow the relationship, you know, fell apart. And those are painful things, aren't they? And yet, because our heart is so vulnerable, we put up a shell around ourselves to protect ourselves, amen, from being wounded again. Now, the Bible says in Proverbs 2:4:23 to guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. So God always begins at the heart and works outwardly, amen? Because what we need to understand is that when it comes to our heart, we can't always trust people, amen? I hope that you have people in your life that you can trust and confide in, amen? But know this, that your Father in heaven will never hurt you. You can always make yourself vulnerable to Him. Amen? And the bottom line is, God already sees it all. Amen? So it's not like I'm going to show something or I'm going to share a secret with God. God already knows. He knows what's going on. He knows what's going on in your thought life. He knows how you feel, what you're thinking, you know? He sees it all. So what God wants us to do is to trust Him. To trust His heart and know that He is really good. Amen. And He only wants to do good for His children. He only wants to give good gifts to His children. Amen. Because He is truly a good Father to us. He's the Father of our spirits. And as a Father, at times He must discipline us. Amen. Because He knows that we need that sometimes. But it's not because He hates us, it's because He loves us that He disciplines us. Because He wants to teach us self-discipline. If we don't have self-discipline, our life will be a shambles. Can you agree with that? It'll be dysfunctional. So the vulnerable part of us, the most vulnerable part is the heart. And that's why we have to get to a place where we understand the nature, the character of God. All right, to where we're willing to make ourselves, if you will, vulnerable, completely vulnerable to Him and open the door to Him. Because when you've been wounded, you have a tendency to put up walls, amen, because you don't want that to happen again. And if we're not careful, we can become calloused. We can become insensitive, indifferent, and our love can even grow cold. If we hold on to grudges, right, or unforgiveness or anything like this because of wounds. Jesus said, because iniquity abounds, the love of many will grow cold. Because of violations, you know, of trust and because of sin abounding and people being abused, the love of many, the agape of many will grow cold. So our hearts need, amen, to be filled with the love of God. And in order to be filled with the love of God, you must trust the Lord with all your heart. And sometimes we know what to say. We know what the Word says. But are we willing to really take it to that level where we're willing to let Jesus have every part of us and allow Him permission as He knocks and asks for permission, hear me, to come in? He didn't barge the door down. He didn't force Himself. But He says, I stand at the door and knock. And if you hear my voice, and if you're willing to trust me, if you're willing to open the door, then I'll come in. Amen. We'll have fellowship. And how many know He is our healer? If you're willing to be vulnerable to the Lord, He'll heal you. And He'll restore you. There's so many Christians that live years with wounds that never get healed because they're afraid to make themselves vulnerable because of fear that they will be hurt again. But God can always be trusted. Amen? And you need to come to a place where you fully surrender to the Lord and allow Him full access to every part of you. You know, we can liken our lives to a house that's full of rooms. Amen? And you can have a guest in your room. You've heard this before, but you can have a guest in your living room, but you may not allow him into the bedroom or into the pantry or whatever else. Or how about that closet upstairs? You know, well, have a seat on the couch here, brother, but I don't know about the other room. I don't want you to go and look at the mess over there. Amen. But how many know God already knows the mess is there? But what he's asking you to do is open up the door and let him access the mess. Come on. Because he knows how to clean up a mess. Amen. He's cleaning us up, right? But we have to be willing to make ourselves fully vulnerable to the Lord, to open the door and let him have his way. And that sometimes is very painful. But God knows that sometimes, you know, because of the pain, amen, and our unwillingness to trust, we go on living wounded. And wounded people wound people. Yeah. So God wants his people healed. You know, the heart is compared to a fountain. You know, if the fountain is sweet, if it's, you know, and it talks about actions that spring forth from this fountain, your works, what you do in life. If the fountain is pure, amen, then the flow, amen, and the fruit of your life will be pure. How many know that if you get around somebody that's bitter, amen, after a while you can start to feel defiled by their conversation, right? And they're always ranting about this and that because they're just bitter, amen? And you feel like you've been vomited on sometimes, you know. But this verse talks about the importance of having a clean heart. And everybody, again, gets wounded, but it's what we do with the wound. It's what we do when we're hurt. You know, certainly we don't get on Facebook and tell everybody how bad this person was. Amen. That's not what the Lord would have you to do. The Lord would have you to try, first of all, to reconcile. Amen. If there was a falling out. But most importantly, to come clean with the Lord. Amen. And make your peace with God by opening up your heart and allowing him in so that he can do the healing that needs to take place in your heart. So he's knocking at the door. Amen. He's first alerting the occupant. Hey, I'm here. I want to have fellowship with you. And as you know, doors open and close, right? There's a revelation for you. Amen. They either allow access or they forbid access. So there is a door to your heart. And God gave you charge over that door. Amen. You're responsible for the door of your heart. And you can choose what you will do with that door, whether you will close it off or you'll open it up. Now, obviously, we have to guard ourselves against certain people. Amen. And you do need to close the door. Amen. In certain relationships, sometimes people don't know what proper boundaries are and they get in trouble. Amen. Because they make themselves vulnerable to everybody. You know, you have to guard your heart. But when it comes to the Lord, you should have it wide open. Amen. And the reason I say this is because even here, and I sense it and I see it at times, there are those that come in, but they're not fully open. They're kind of shut down. They're in the environment. They're in the atmosphere of heaven. But for whatever reason, whether it's past hurts or pain, they don't open themselves fully. And again, a lot of times it's because we're afraid that something bad will happen when we do that. How many have ever been in a place where you feel that when you make yourself vulnerable, something bad always happens? People take advantage of you. You think about what's going on at the southern border. Let's not go too far off into that right now. But that's a mess because borders are to protect the sovereignty of a nation. Amen? And so if you just swing wide the doors, the gates, and you don't have any vetting and you don't have any kind of process of who's coming and who's going, amen, you're making yourself vulnerable to your enemy. And if eventually it will destroy the sovereignty of that nation, that's why nations have borders. They have gates. So likewise, we are like that. We must have borders. We must have a gate, amen, and we must guard that gate against certain, amen, intruders. That's why we have doors on our homes. Amen. We don't have an open door policy with the neighborhood. Amen. Because not everybody can be trusted. But you need to know who you can trust. And there are certain people that you trust. You say, hey, here's the key. Amen. When you trust the Lord, it's like that. You give him the key. You say, Lord, come on in anytime you want. I'm always open to having you. Amen. Because I know you can be trusted. Because your heart is where, you know, everything springs forth from. It's the seat of all of your emotions, of your, you know, of your mind, of your intellect. It's the very innermost part of you, right? So God actually asked for permission to come in. Have you thought about that? You know. Now God shows up sovereignly, doesn't he? Sometimes we're just like we're doing our business. All of a sudden the Lord just comes upon you or he speaks to you. You know. But he does not access the door of your heart if you're unwilling to open it to him. You understand, this is talking to a church, the Laodicean church. This is not people that never knew the Lord. These are people that had once known the Lord, but somehow they got distracted by worldly things. And they became choked out by the things of the world. And all of a sudden, they find themselves on remote control, or what do you call it, just going through the motions. Amen. And doing even church business or church things or God things. But the relationship was no longer there that they had. And so the Lord is saying, hey, how about inviting me into your busyness, into your schedule, into what you plan? You know, we need to open our hearts to the right things. We need to open our hearts to God's love, to his acceptance, to his mercy, to his forgiveness, and his word, obviously, amen, and his spirit. We need to open our hearts to Jesus and let him fill us, amen. But we must also close the door of our hearts to sin and worldliness. Ecclesiastes 10:1 says, dead flies putrefy the perfumer's ointment and cause it to give off a foul odor. So does a little folly to one respected for wisdom and honor. So when flies get caught in the perfumer's ointment and die, they cause it to give up a foul odor. There's nothing worse than a compromising Christian. Yeah? We have to guard our hearts against temptation. Amen? Against the tricks, the schemings of the enemy. He wants to even impersonate God. He wants to take the place of God, and so he's going to sometimes offer you alternatives to God, a God of your own imagination, a God that fits your lifestyle, not necessarily the true living God, but the God that you choose for yourself based upon what you want him to be, not who he is, but who you want him to be for you. And that's idolatry. Amen. Idolatry is fashioning a God to suit yourself. So in Galatians 6:7, it says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. So Satan is a thief, and he's looking for ways to breach the door of your heart. He does that through temptation, doesn't he? Sin is destructive, it's deadly, and therefore he's always trying to get us to compromise. He's trying to get us to take the bait. Because whenever we willfully choose to sin against what we know is God's, you know, what God disapproves of, we give permission to our enemy to trample on us. It's interesting how, I'm going to use the sanctified version of this, but 99 attaboys and one oh no. And how, you know, a reputation can be destroyed by just a momentary slip of the tongue or an action. Amen? That's why we have to guard ourselves diligently. We have to be very careful. How many know that your integrity is very important? You got to guard your integrity. You got to be a person of who is trustworthy because your Father is trustworthy. So you can build up a reputation for being wise or being honorable. Yet it can be ruined by a single misstep or compromise to sin. So in order to overcome in life, we've got to be in a place where we're really fully trusting the Lord. It's always about trusting the Lord. But what does that look like? It means making yourself vulnerable to God, to allow him to have his way with your life. If you trust the Lord, you'll trust him with his plan for your life. Isn't that true? If you trust the Lord, you'll know that his plan is superior to your plan. And you'd be willing to sacrifice your plan for his superior plan because you trust him, because you know God is good and everything he does is good. And he only wants good for us. So we have to sometimes choose between what we want to do and what he wants us to do. But how many know that God always chooses, choosing God is always the smart thing to do? Amen. It's always the best way, right? So God is never responsible. I want to just say this. Never judge God based upon the actions of people. Again, this is what happens sometimes when we are going through life and we are abused or we're mistreated, you know, or we're hurt by people. You know, again, we can set up a shell. When I was a young man, I had a big shell around myself. I wasn't going to let anybody get too close to me because of that, right? And I remember a preacher one time was speaking directly and praying for me, you know, about that shell, that I was not allowing God to access me, you know, because of that shell I put around myself to protect myself, you see? And even though I didn't immediately respond to his advice, I later learned that he's absolutely right. That the only way that my life is going to be straightened out, is going to be healed, is going to be restored, is that I make myself fully vulnerable and allow the Holy Spirit every part of my being. That I am an open book. Amen. God sees it. He knows it all. You might as well just say, okay, Lord, you know what's going on. You know who I am in my secret heart. You know, the part that you see that nobody else sees, you know that part of me. I want you to have access to that. I want you to do what you got to do in me, Lord. I want to be holy. I want to be sanctified. Amen. I want to be purified. I want to be like you. Amen. I don't want any skeletons in the closet. Come on. Amen. Lord, I want you to clean it all out. I want you to come into my heart, Lord, into every room, every void, every part of me, and just cleanse me, purify me, drive the enemy out, arise in me, Lord, and drive out my enemy. And then I want you, Lord, to fill me with your holy presence, fill every part of my life. You see, if your whole being is filled with the glory of God, it will show on your face. Amen. You'll shine. And that's what I want. Is that what you want? But sometimes, guys, we judge God based upon the actions of people. I want to get into this a little bit. God is never responsible for the decisions that people make as a choice of their own free will. And yet, God gets blamed for choices that people make. Because the enemy wants to offend you and get you mad at God, angry at God, so that you'll shut off God. You'll close your heart to God. You won't trust the Lord because you'll believe the lie that somehow God's not good. Isn't that the same lie that Satan used in the beginning? God's holding out on you. He's not good. And so we never judge God based upon what people do. I hear that all the time. Well, if God is so good, why this, why that? Because God gave people a sovereign choice to make. Amen. They have sovereignty over themselves. They have a will. They can choose to do what they want with their life. Amen. You can choose to the will of God or you can choose your own way. Amen. But when people choose their own way, it's a matter of living a selfish existence, isn't it? And selfishness always ends up hurting somebody else. As a matter of fact, the root of it, right, is pride, but it's selfishness is sin. Every sin, you can find the root, it's in self, amen? It's in selfishness. Not caring enough about somebody else that I'm willing to take advantage of them, for example. God is always good. God is always faithful. God is always true. His word is always true. Do you believe it? Hear the Lord's heart for his people. How many have heard this before where Jesus was grieving over the condition of his people in Jerusalem? He said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often? Hear his heart. This is his heart. I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. But you were not willing. What? You were not willing. What does that mean? It means they had a choice. They chose not to trust the Lord. We have to trust the Lord in order to be healed, in order to be saved, In order to be delivered, you must trust the Lord. You must give him access. See, the Lord is not willing that anyone should perish. That's his heart. Amen. But because of their stubbornness and their unwillingness to turn to him and trust him, they would have to face his righteous judgments and they would have to bear the reproach of their sins. You understand? God doesn't want people to perish, but because God is holy and God is righteous, therefore every sin and transgression, are you hearing me, requires justice. And that's why Jesus went to the cross, amen, to pay the price for the justice of God to be satisfied, amen, as he laid upon Jesus the iniquity of us all. So if we trust the Lord and we give him access, amen, he'll forgive, he'll cleanse, he'll heal, he'll restore. Amen. That's what he wants. He wants his people to be whole again. John 1:12 says, but as many as what? Received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Hallelujah. He had to become our substitute because we couldn't save ourselves. And I want to say this. The reason why many people are not set free from addiction or from sin, some besetting sin or Satan, is because they're not willing to give the Lord full permission to access their hearts and have control of their lives. See, it's in the areas where we hold back. It's in the areas where we choose not to allow God access that the enemy continues to operate. Yeah? So we have to come to the place where we trust God, to the place where we say, Lord, there are no secrets. You know it all. You see it all. Lord, I want you to fix me. I want you to heal me. I want you to restore me. Amen. And open the door and let him come in. Let him do what he needs to do in your life because he only wants to do good for his people. Amen. But because people try to do it in their own strengths, you know, in their own strength, their own ability, they can't overcome these things. And so, again, it's because of offense, it's because of hurt, it's because of pain that often people will not make themselves vulnerable. I hear people, they mouth the words, they say the right words, amen, but in their heart, they're closed off to God. Yeah. You got to open your heart. You got to fully trust the Lord and give him permission to have his way, amen, to come in and do what he needs to do. So it really is, again, it's a matter of making yourself vulnerable to him by opening the door of your heart to him. Now, here's a couple reasons why people don't open to God. Number one, it's pride. All right? This happens a lot. We have an altar call. Some people are, well, I don't want to look like I'm a sinner or I've got problems. I want everybody to think I'm so holy and righteous that I'm not going to respond to that altar call. I mean, sometimes people think that way. I've probably been there myself. Amen? But we have to humble ourselves. You humble yourself, God will exalt you in honor. Amen. He'll lift you up. He'll heal you. He'll meet you in that place of humility. He'll give you his grace. Amen. So you got to get over your pride of what people think about me. Many people, they're controlled by what others think of them. Amen. And because of pride, many people are unwilling to let God have that control. And some people are unwilling to bear the reproach of the Lord because the praise of men is more important to them than the praise of God. In John 12:42, Jesus says, nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in Jesus, believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, the religious leaders of that day, they did not confess him. So they believed in Jesus, but they did not what? Confess him. How many know confession is made unto salvation? Huh? Why did they not confess him? For fear of being what? Put out of the synagogue. Fear of man. For they love the praises of men more than the praise of God. I don't want to be that one. Another reason people don't open to God is because of fear and guilt. Shame. Amen. How many know he's the one that takes away the shame, takes away the guilt, takes away the fear? Make yourself vulnerable. Come into the light. Amen. He sees it already. Just get clean with God. Amen. Come fully clean. Because sometimes we're afraid of being exposed or being found out. I can remember living in the world and living paranoid and afraid of being discovered or found out. Mm-hmm. Like the old song says, looking in the mirror and seeing a police car, right? Almost cut my hair, yeah. I had that album, by the way. Then I had the hair, too, by the way. Oh, yeah, believe it or not, there's nothing left of it now, but that's a good thing, I guess. But Jesus said in John 3:19, this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. And see, guys, this is where we have to understand there are no secrets with God. We need to make ourselves vulnerable to Him. And if you're going to be healed, you're going to be restored, you're going to be saved, you've got to just come, amen, and repent and fully trust the Lord for His forgiveness, because there's only forgiveness in Jesus, amen. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But verse 21, but those who do what is right come to the light, so others can see that they are doing what God wants. Amen. That was the problem with those, some of the rulers, that they believed, but they did not confess, because the praise of men was more important to them than the praise of God. We need sometimes to repent of that attitude. Amen. That we're more concerned about what God thinks than what people think. I'm more afraid of offending the Lord than I am offending people. See, it's possible to be, you know, involved in the church life and activity and yet be shut down to God and others due to hurt, you know, or pain. But God desires our wholehearted love and friendship. He wants friendship with man. And the door will be shut to those who shut Him out and resist the Holy Spirit. Again, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He makes the approach. He announces that He wants to come. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. He took me to his banqueting table. His banner over me is love. Hallelujah. The master of the house is Jesus. And how many know that the door or the opportunity to be saved will one day be closed? Today is the day of salvation and healing, of deliverance and restoration. And by the way, it's freely available to every one of us here. Salvation, healing, deliverance, restoration, freely available. You cannot work for it. You cannot earn it. You don't deserve it. But God says, if you will be vulnerable and open your heart to me and allow me access, then I'll do this for you free, because I paid for it already in full at the cross. He paid for our salvation, our healing, our deliverance, and our restoration at the cross. Hallelujah. Are you willing to trust the Lord with your inner hurts and your pain? Would you bow your heads this morning? Are you willing to open the door and let Him in? Take a moment right now. Did God point something out to you while I was speaking? Just open the door to Him. And often when I do that, I say, Lord, I trust you, I believe you. And I open the door of my heart to you, and I welcome you, Lord. I welcome you, Lord Jesus. I ask you to come in to my heart, to every part of me, Lord. I want you to have full access to every part of me. Lord, I want you to come into the areas of the wounds, of the hurts, and the things that I've carried, Father, for years. And I ask you to forgive me, to cleanse me, to heal me, and to restore me. Lord, I ask you to deliver me from the evil one. Lord, I ask you to drive out the enemy and fully possess me, Holy Spirit. I want you to have full access to all of me. Lord, you're welcome in the attic, the basement, the closet, every part, Lord. I ask you to forgive me and heal me and restore me and make me whole. That I can trust again. That I can love again. That I can make myself vulnerable, Lord, again, to minister to others. That I will be able to love others with the love of the Lord. Because, Lord, I want your love shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Spirit. If you're willing to let him in, say, I welcome you, Lord. How many remember this old chorus? Into my heart, into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, come in today. Come in today. Come in to stay. Come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Let's stand and lift our hands to him. Amen. As an act of surrender. And let's open ourselves wide and say, into my heart, into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today. Come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's give him praise. Let's offer incense. Hallelujah. We give you praise. We give you glory, Lord. We honor you, Lord God. Lord, fill us with your Holy Spirit. Baptize our hearts with your Holy Spirit and fire. Holy Spirit, come. Rest in this place. Rest upon us. Fill us up, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, make me a blessing. I pray that out of my life, Jesus would shine. I want you to shine, Lord, through me. I don't want anything to hinder that flow of your Spirit through me. Use me for your glory, Lord. As we sing that song, make me a blessing. Make me a blessing. Out of my life, may Jesus shine. Oh, yeah. Make me a blessing, oh, Savior, I pray. Make me a blessing to someone today. Make me a blessing to someone today. Hallelujah.